Welcome to the Book Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox, the teacher librarian at Madera South High School. Today's guest is Rebecca Douglas, an English teacher at Madera South. We discuss her childhood love of fantasy, some of the books she got interested in high school, how she balances her reading schedule with her busy life, including family and teaching, and much more. Please enjoy our conversation. So what kind of books did you read as a child?
I read a little bit of everything. My mom used to read to me when I was very, very little, and it stuck with me, and I would read. My favorite book when I was younger was The Phantom Tollbooth.
I've not heard of that. What's that about?
Oh, it's about this kid who goes, it's almost similar to like Where Wild Things Are or Chronicles of Narnia, where they go into a different area and he just goes through a phantom toll booth and goes into a different fantasy world. So I think that's where a lot of my reading was fantasy. I wanted to, not that my home life was bad, but I just wanted to escape. And that was how I did it as a kid.
And I, you know, I think fantasy is such a great thing for young kids to read. And now it's being replaced by phones and screens and whatever else where they're escaping, but it's into someone else's imagination or creation. Whereas with a book like that, I'm sure you get to imagine what the characters are like. I mean, for me as a kid, like, it was Harry Potter in a lot of ways, even though that came out kind of later in my childhood. Before that, my parents pushed me into things like Narnia, where I could kind of imagine what the characters look like. Now, I know the movies came out later, and so they kind of set your image of what the characters could look like, but you have some control. Did fantasy follow you throughout your childhood, or was that something more in your younger childhood?
In my younger childhood, because then when I got into high school, I kind of turned into that typical teenage girl where everything became, do I fit in? Do I do that? And so then it became more, I think the one book that I read and broke was Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul. And it was all these different stories, good and bad, of teenagers just going through things. And so I really connected to it, and it gave me a sense of, I was able to go and connect with other kids. And I think a lot of kids try to do that right now, like you said, with social media. But to me, I don't know, I felt like it was more real reading it, because I think so many kids now do it for likes, and those kids didn't necessarily write it down for likes. They went and they shared their thoughts to put into a book. So
yeah,
it feels, and I don't know, I think there is some truth to what people post, but I think more of it is not necessarily to get kids. Oh, yes, I agree with that. I think it is more, I just want the likes.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of outward facing as opposed to inward facing.
Right.
Now, what were your parents like in terms of their reading habits? Was it partially your love for reading formed by theirs, or was this something that you didn't share with them?
My mom read a lot.
What did she read?
Eventually, it was self-help, because she started going through some, my dad moved up to Fresno, and she got left behind, and then they started, ended up in a divorce, and it got really bad between the two of them. And so that was her escape, was through self-help books. And before that, she loved V.C. Andrews. Before she got into V.C. Andrews was her thing. And I ended up falling in love and read some V.C. Andrews too because of that. Dad never really read, so it really came from my mom, that love of reading. And she still reads now. She just finished a book about her hometown, and she just shared it with me. And it's not something I would have read, but she loved it. And so it, you know, got my love of reading back to, yeah, I remember why I like to read.
And how did your reading habits change as you became an adult?
I majored in history. That's what changed. That's what changed it for me. I read way too much in college, and I got burnt out because it was a lot of academic reading, and I pushed aside the fun reading that I did because I just was overwhelmed. And so I lost that wanting to read for fun. And then I'd pick it up and I'd read, you know, 10 books in a row, and then I'd lose it again because life would get in the way. And I've gotten back into it. I've tried to not burn myself out by reading so quickly. And but it changed to where I stopped reading so much for fun and read more academic. And I've told myself that that has to change. I loved reading and I didn't want to lose that. So I purposely made myself read for fun.
So some students listening might be headed towards college and they might love reading right now, but they're worried that the same thing might happen to them. If you could talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell them?
Somehow find the time. I think, especially now, I didn't have Audible back in the day. It was, you had to go to, you know, the county library and pick up the little cassettes and listen to the book. So it was harder, I think, for me to have that. But now that these kids have Audible, walking to class, read your book, read a fun book, set that side a time, that time aside for yourself, because it is so important. And it was my escape. And I know a lot of kids who love reading now, it's their escape. And you're gonna be stressed with academic reading, and especially if you major in something difficult like English or history, you're gonna have a lot of that academic reading. And if you can make a point to set it aside, which is hard when you're given 24 hours in a day, but if you can make a point to do it, I would. And I would do it audibly. If you can actually listen, I would hands down choose Audible if I were 18 now.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, we have so many distractions. I mean, I think about sometimes the hours of TV that I will consume relative to my reading, and it disturbs me. But, you know, I think part of the thing is, too, is finding books that you can just consume like snacks, you know, just that are fun. And there's a place for reading more challenging books. And I think at every point in our lives, we need to do that for our own self-development. But, you know, you should have, like, for me, I love science fiction, so I will just plow through a couple sci-fi books. Sometimes I'll dip into fantasy. It's not usually my domain, I will be honest. But I do have books that are more, like, just purely pleasure. And I think when you only read in school academically, you can start to associate books with almost pain, the pain of having to do something. And I would hope that our students would have the experience of just reading for pure pleasure.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it a little bit more, but I want you to get a little granular. And for the students listening, granular means getting really small. Talk about how you get reading done in your days that are so busy. Like, how do you find time for it?
So the last book I finished was Know My Name by Chanel Miller. And I listened to that one. I listened to it on my way to go pick up my son. And then on the way, once I've dropped off my son in the morning, I listened to it then. So it was, you know, very short, 45 minutes. But the topic of the book was what kept me coming back and kept me engaged. So it was finding those small snippets of time where I just keep reading. The book before that was a Colleen Hoover book, Shatter Me. And those are very quick, like you said, very easy reads. And I got through that in an afternoon. So I think it just making that time for myself of, no, I want to read this. I love having an imagination, and that's how I do it. I make myself sit down and read. I make it to be where, especially if I haven't picked up on a book in a few months, it's always an easy, fun read that I start out with. And it gets me into, oh, okay, well, maybe I can read a more challenging, like the next book I'm starting is The Killers of the Flower Moon.
I'll be seeing that movie this weekend.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I'm reading it, is to see the movie. And so that is what I start out with. I start out with books that really interest me. And then, okay, let's delve into a different book that might be take me longer to read, but it's those pleasure books in between that really continue to grab my attention over and over and over.
Yeah, mine's a 2-to-1 ratio. I try to read 2 pleasurable to 1 challenging, and I think that's the right balance. But I think you're right. Like, if you just jump into a challenging long novel after not reading for a while, it's a little bit like saying I'm going to run a marathon and my first practice I'm going to run half of it.
Right.
And it's like, no, you got to start a mile, two, three, four, and then eventually you build to 12, 16, 24. Yeah. And so it takes time.
I also think it's important that if I don't like the book, I stop reading it.
Oh, yes. And that's my biggest recommendation, too, is don't waste your life reading books you don't like.
Yep.
Lots of people, and I think this is partially school, get this idea that once you start something, you have to finish it. And that's shackles that you don't need to wear. So last question, what are three books you've enjoyed recently?
My favorite book that I've read in the last 5 years is Hooligans of Kandahar. And if any of the students listening want to read it, it's in my classroom. They can come see me. I'm in room 408. It is by Joseph Kasabian, and he was a grunt, his terms, in the military during the Iraq-Afghanistan War, which was when did 2011 or 2001, so 17. For 20 years, that was my life, and that's what I had friends in. And it gives a very real look at what war is like for just regular military people, not the ones that go and get a Medal of Honor, just the regular people. It was very eye-opening. I really liked that one. It was it's essentially his diary that he wrote when he was over there. The next one was definitely the Know My Name by Chanel Miller. That one really stuck with me. I think she made it okay for victims. Not okay, but she put her name and her face to what victims were feeling. And I think in our day and age, not a lot of people do that. Yeah. I think it gets pushed aside a lot. The last book I read that I really enjoyed was probably that one. It was by Karen McManus, the One of Us is Lying. It was a Hulu TV show, and I thought, I always try to read the book before I see the movie. Did it with Harry Potter. I will do it with almost everything.
How does that affect your viewing experience if you read it first?
I notice everything missing.
Yeah.
So I'll read it, and in Harry Potter, you probably know, when they have him in the detention and he's having to write and it comes up on his
Professor Umbridge.
Yeah, yeah, Professor Umbridge, lovely Professor Umbridge. And in the book, it was so descriptive and so well thought out. And then when you see it on screen, it's just a very quick snap of it. And it's like, no, there was a good chunk of time that you could have spent there. So it colors me to the point of where I never think the movie is as good as the book.
Yeah.
The book is always better in my eyes. So.
And I think that's a good experience for our students to see what you get when you dig in terms of character development, plot development, detail. I think we're so used to the visual that we're losing the potential of the text, which is to expand your world. It makes your world so much bigger.
Yes.
Because you can look in all sorts of different directions while you're reading and think about space and time. And in a movie, that space and time and your visuals are controlled. Mm. And I want students to be empowered to have that for themselves. Now, our final question, which is, let's say you encounter a student who says, I just don't like to read. How would you respond to them?
They haven't found the right book.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. I think there is a book for everyone. I think a lot of the kids, last year I had kids find a book in my classroom because I've got, 300 books in my classroom. And I had some kids picking Metamorphosis, very small book, but a very challenging read. And I think the kids picked it up because, it's a small book. And I was like, I have another book in there, Winger, and it's about a boy who gets bullied at school. And he gets through it by comedy. It's a bigger book, but it's like a eighth grade reading level. And I said, you can't judge a book by how big it is. And you will, if you keep trying, and I think that's where a lot of our kids are, I don't want to keep trying. I can get it into TikTok and see that visual instead. I think if you keep trying and find a book you love, so many of those kids loved Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You may not find the pictures with Diary of a Wimpy Kid, but you can find books that have that similar humor type of a thing mm-hmm. in other books. You just have to look for them and get the help if you can't find it. Get the help to find books like that. So ultimately, I think you just haven't found the book you like or the genre that you like. And I think, I know a lot of our girls like romance, and I think that kind of gets pushed. Oh, that's not true reading. It is. It is. Yeah. I think it's a big, you know, group of money that can be made. And I think when you find it, be proud that you've found what you like to read, whatever it is.
Yeah. Thanks, Rebecca.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed the first episode of season 2. We'll see you next week with another episode, and this time it will be with a student. We'll see you then.